This is a fantasy short story.
He's fine. Will be fine. Strong creature.
Welcome to Kernak Grimm's Science Fiction and Fantasy Podcast.
On a specified now playing. Always risky.
Always. 3, 2, 1.
Runebreakers. The Lost Palace. Written by Kernak Grimm and W. Lawrence. Narrated by Dick Terhune. This is Season 2 of Kernak Grimm's Fantasy and Science Fiction Podcast with Runebreakers, The Lost Palace. If you enjoy the Runebreakers, check out more adventures online at bit.ly/runebreakers. bit.ly/runebreakers. Episode 5. The four adventurers find themselves at the base of a massive structure. Its sweeping architecture lends itself to the appearance of a set of dragon wings that cast a shadow over much of the ancient stone courtyard. A derelict clock tower, rank with weeds, sits to the right. Vegetation has managed to squeeze up in between the large stones, but still, the lost palace of the Shazaton dynasty maintains its aged glory. Pools of greenish water, connected by small rivulets, sit at even intervals beneath the palace's wings, an arrangement with a purpose lost to time. A makeshift pulley lay on its side by a slightly bigger green river, its wood weathered, its rope black with mildew. The adventurers recognize it as how they pulled Gadisa from the water so many years ago. Behind them, Pelath suddenly appears just before the portal closes.
"You! How did you make it here?" Mormek asks.
"Well, I convinced the dragon," Pelath says.
"Convinced?" Wilhelm asks angrily. "He didn't want to let you come. What could you have said to convince him? And before he would let you jump through, he would have set fire on you. Except, did you do something to the dragon?"
"He's fine. Will be fine. Strong creature."
"You don't understand. Without him, there's no pathway back."
"Now, clearly you're not here for Gadisa 2, Mormek says.
"Gadisa 2, where are you?" Gadisa calls out, walking alongside the river.
"Oh, but I have empathy. I root for you to find him or her if something like that exists a second time. But as it happens, I have other business here," Pelath says.
"There's no business to have here."
He gestures to the wrecked pulley, but the artificer strides past him and across the court. Ahead of her are circular steps that climb steeply to the base of the palace. Pelath increases her pace, passing beneath the shadow of the massive bronze wings, which extend from the four buildings on either side and curl inward in a massive metallic embrace. With the rogue distracted, the three watch the distance between the artificer and them grow, her thin figure ascending the steps toward the one place she should not, could not, go.
Wait! Wilhelm calls after. "You can't go in there!"
"Why, what's in there? What did you leave?"
"We were lucky to get out of there alive!"
"Lucky doesn't sound like me," Pelath strides on.
"It's a time paradox, time loop thing! Don't go near it!"
For a moment, Pelath pauses. Slowly, she turns around, then smiles at the companions.
"A time paradox? How intriguing! See, here I am, thinking I can go into the lost library of some of the best-time sorcerers that have ever existed, and you're telling me I might be able to actually meet them?"
With a high-pitched laugh, Pelath turns around, continuing her way into the palace.
"Crap on a carrion crawler!" Mormek cries, and zooms ahead of them, bounding up the steps toward the palace entrance.
A single heavy wooden door sits ajar, only darkness beyond. He bellows out a battle cry and launches himself into the opening. The blades of his battle axe catch between the jamb and door and stops the dwarf fast. When the wizard and druid catch up, they find Mormek locked in place, feet pedaling inches above the ground, axe blade edges cut deep into the wood. Dakaria jumps into the air, transforms into a frog, and hurtles her companion. She lands on the ground, leaps again, and changes once more into her elvish form to continue the pursuit.
"Get me down from here!" the dwarf screams.
Wilhelm stops and grabs Mormek around the waist. His face becomes twisted as he struggles to maintain his composure. As Dakaria bounds through the halls, she sees the locked entrance to the clock tower up ahead. Four staffs of warding are set into the massive clock built into the marble door.
Palath is within an arm's reach of plucking the nearest magical staff from its hold.
No! Dakaria screams, drawing a thorny stem from a pouch and squeezing it in her hand.
With an arcanic phrase, the stem grows and thickens and whips high in the air, only to reach out and wrap itself around Palath's head.
The artificer screams in pain, reeling back from the staff and unfastening the magical whip from her throbbing head.
You just did not do that to me, she hisses at Dakaria.
Her hand reaches for one of the crossed staffs on her back. Drawing out the feathered staff, Palath holds the rake-like end at arm's length, and then spins like a milling stone. From the end of the odd-shaped staff comes a cloud of feathers, dander, dust, and pollen. Swirling about like a tornado, it fills the library from top to bottom.
Dakaria attempts to cast another spell, but the spoken portion is interrupted by a fit of sneezing and coughing.
The dastardly woman had successfully built an allergy staff and employed it against her.
Wilhelm appears in the entrance, hands held high in anticipation of casting a spell.
The dust catches in his eyes, however, and in guarding of his face, the spell sputters and fails.
The dwarf takes no heed of his wizard compatriot's failings, however. He charges past them, battle-axe high above his head. In a flash, the axe launches across the hall, slicing Palath's arm and shoulder and snapping her allergy staff in two.
Why would you take arms against me, Palath rages? After all I have done for you, this is how you repay me? Well, let me give my thanks.
From within her robe, she withdraws a brass gauntlet and places it on her right hand. Gems on each knuckle glow a fierce light.
Don't let us snap our fingers, Wilhelm screams.
Why?
Mormek stops in his tracks, curiosity halting his assault. The wizard scratches his head.
Actually, I don't know. It just seemed like that would be a really bad thing if she did.
The spectral hands grab Mormek, Wilhelm, and Dakaria, holding them fast and preventing them from engaging any further. They watch, helplessly bound in strange magic, as Palath strides to the closest staff wedged into the clock. The moment she grabs it, a blue light explodes, followed by a blast wave that grabs the companions and hurls them through the hall and through the door until they crash to the ground outside. Around them, blue arcane fibers move like a snake and start to take the shape of a dragon. We hope you enjoyed this installment of Runebreakers, The Lost Palace. Follow Kernot Grimm on TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook. It's at Kernot Grimm on Instagram and TikTok, and it's at Writer Kernot Grimm on Facebook. If you enjoy the Runebreakers, check out more adventures online at bit.ly/runebreakers. bit.ly/runebreakers. Runebreakers, The Lost Palace, is protected by copyright laws.
Every season of Kernot Grimm's science fiction and fantasy podcast features a new unique short story broken down into several episodes.
Farewell, my friend.